What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you here for another edition of Phillies Today. I'm afraid I lied last week. Told you guys it was my final podcast before the regular season began. Obviously, that turns out not to be the case. Game gets rained out yesterday, even though turned out there wasn't much rain. But hey, for my personal agenda, it worked out better for Friday anyway. And I'm going to the game, so good call by the weather people there. But anyway, I know it's difficult for people to change their work schedule around and stuff like that, but we're going to get a nice sunny day today for opening day. So that is something to really look forward to, and it's going to be, you know, mid-50s and sunny for first pitch, and, you know, just a no-brainer if you think about it, just based on what the weather was saying, even though it turned out not to rain that much. But hey, it's opening day. I'm excited. You know, sucks that we had to wait another day, but we're here. I'm ready to go. Again, we'll be there, as I said last week. I expect the atmosphere to be, you know, as about as good as you can get for an opening day. Like, this is a matchup where it's Wheeler versus Strider, two of the best teams in baseball, NL East rivals, NLDS rematch of last year. Just a really fun matchup, man. And so I'm going to go get into a little bit of that series preview and, you know, just preview these three games as a whole, give my thoughts there, going to give some bold predictions for this season. And I'm going to give my Major League Baseball standings and playoff predictions as well for each division plus the wild card. So we'll see where that gets us, but a lot to get to with baseball season officially back. First games taking place yesterday. The only two games that got postponed were Phils and the Mets. Everyone else got their season underway. So one more thing I will say, though, in regards to the postponement, which I, you know, kind of like, because that there's not going to be a stupid off day in between opening day and the first Saturday of the season. That just always, like, I get so amped up for baseball. And then once it comes, I'm like, all right, I need it every day. Want it every day. And then you have the off day on Friday after you open the season on Thursday. I just always thought that was really stupid. So, but anyway, you don't have that now because of the rainout. So let's talk about the series. For today, fully expecting this to be the pitcher's duel I just hyped up and like it's hyped up to be. If you remember, Wheeler and Strider actually didn't get to match up against each other in the postseason last year. It was Ranger in Game 1 and Game 4 because, you know, the wild card series, of course. So finally get to see each team's number one go up against each other. I said these numbers last week, but I felt like I'd throw them in there again because, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, first of all, that I'd be recording before opening day today. But in Spencer Strider's 8 career games against the Phillies in the regular season, he's 8-0 with a 1.9 ERA and an 0.74 WHIP. just absurd numbers. But then it just makes the postseason, you know, woes all the more funny because in the 3 career games against the Phils, the postseason, 0-3, 5.4 ERA, WHIP over 1.7. So it's like just the total opposite end of the spectrum for Spencer Strider. Even though I will say in that Game 4 last year, it really wasn't his fault that the Braves ended up losing. It was just that, you know, their bats fell cold in a year where they're the hottest hitting team in baseball pretty much from start to finish. So I also have this theory, by the way, when you're doing your fantasy drafts, that when in doubt, you have to go with the Atlanta Brave. And Gerrit Cole's typically been my guy that I go for in past years. I just get strikeouts, gets wins, doesn't walk a lot of guys, just a great fantasy pitcher. I had to take Spencer Strider this year. So I have this theory that when in doubt, you always go with the Atlanta Brave because they just find a way to always put up numbers. I've just had success with that in the past. So, you know, as much as they get on my nerves, and I wish it was the Phils that won just 6 straight divisions over the past 6 years, talented little baseball team they got down there. And, you know, I had to pick Spencer Strider in my draft. But it's going to be cool to see Strider back in front of these fans, too, because the crowd was really intense last year, and he felt it for sure. And so aside from the Wheeler-Strider game, I will say if we, you know, look towards Saturday and Sunday for a second here, just great pitching matchups all weekend. And I think, you know, most baseball fans would be, you know, intrigued by both these games. And you've Nolan Freed on Saturday, which, you know, might be a number one versus a number one matchup in a ton of other opening series around baseball. And then you have Ranger versus Charlie Morton on Sunday, which should also be really, really good. So looking forward to both of those. And if you've listened to me over the past few weeks, you know how high I am on Ranger right now. And I'm excited to see if he can get off to a nice start here with a full spring training under his belt. He did not give up a run in spring training and led the Grapefruit League in WHIP as well. When he is his command, man, when he's playing the change up off his fastball efficiently, I just can't help but get excited for this guy. I know he's not necessarily, a strikeout pitcher either. But it just feels like he went so late in fantasy drafts when I was doing mine. So I made sure to grab him. And I saw mostly people, Christopher Sanchez going over Ranger. And I'm like, I like Christopher Sanchez, but I have huge expectations for Ranger, and I think he's going to have a great year. So I saw someone called up the midday guys yesterday that said that Ranger was going to win the Cy Young in 2024. And you know, I love Ranger as much as anybody out there, but that might be a bit of a stretch. But I will say, one of my bold predictions is that I think he becomes an all-star this year. People around baseball look at this Phillies rotation and go, wow, what a great 1-2, what a great duo, and Wheeler and Nola at the top. But I think after the season, people start saying Wheeler, Nola, and Ranger Suarez at the top. So Ranger being an all-star, it would just mean so much to me. And by the way, he looked good ringing the bell at the Sixers game the other night, and I think it was him, Rojas, and Pache there. Again, just so excited for the season to get going. Excited for Ranger here, and big expectations for him, but big expectations for Nola as well. Nola was awesome in his spring training start on Sunday, his last one against the Blue Jays, and fastball, knuckle curve looked really, really sharp. Now with the slide step adjustment he made and the pitch clock issues hopefully in the rearview mirror, he can just go out there and have a great year. He's got the contract too. So really excited to see kind of all three of these pitching matchups this weekend. And you have two great offenses going against some really talented starting pitching. So, hey, we'll see which one ends up prevailing there. But one other thing I want to touch on before I do, you know, some of my Phillies and MLB predictions here is, you know, what I think they're going to do with the cleanup spot today. I said in the pod last week that I think they're going to go with JT in that spot most likely, just because it probably gives you the highest floor right now, even though I'm already dreading all the double plays that I know he's going to hit into. It just feels like JT has had a knack for that in the past. But, yeah, maybe they switch back to Bohm at some point in the year. I'm not sure. But I would definitely say I'm most confident with JT right now hitting behind Harper, because I think just because of all the stuff he's done in the offseason, biomechanics lab, we know all about the adjustments he made, shortening the leg kick as well, swinging it really well down in Clearwater too. And it looks like the results are producing good things there. So you take some of the pressure off Bohm maybe to start the year too. I think he had a lot of weight on his shoulders behind Bryce, especially in the postseason, and it got to him a little bit. And I know the postseason is a much more high pressure scenario, but I think this is a really important year for Alec Bohm. I know it feels like I'm high on everybody in terms of just how I think they're going to be this year. This is a really interesting year for Alec Bohm, because it feels like I got to know what Alec Bohm's ceiling is. And if he doesn't kind of, improve upon the output that he had last year and just continue to kind of rise in terms of power, OPS, slugging, things of that nature, then I feel like this might be what Alec Bohm is. And, Alec Bohm's a nice player. Again, he's not a phenomenal third baseman, but he's adequate over there now. And at driving in 100 RBIs is right where he was around last year is, oh, great. But at the same time, he was number 3 overall pick in the draft, and at one point was one of the most highly touted prospects in the Phillies organization, if not baseball. So I think it's a big year for Alec Bohm. I think that if he can find a way to take another leap, then that would be phenomenal for the Phillies. But I can't say it's something I'm necessarily expecting. I expect him to drive runs in with guys on base, and I don't expect him to walk a ton. I expect him to not necessarily launch the ball. We know his pass with that. So if he can improve upon any of those things, then I think that's a great sign for Alec Bohm. But I'm not necessarily counting on that as we go into the year. But anyway, also, Cassidy, until he can just find the consistency, which, who knows if that'll ever happen, because it seems like he always is looking for that consistency or just trying to improve upon the lack thereof. But I just don't see him in the 4 spot to start. Maybe, it changes if he gets hot to start the year and Rob Thompson wants to tinker with some things, but it's just not something I see happening, Cassidy in the 4-hole to begin the year. But it's funny. Everyone loves to talk about, the leadoff spot and what they're doing with Kyle Schwarber there. And to me, the bigger debate is clearly who's in the 4 spot right now, because it's who can best protect Bryce, who's hitting 3rd. Obviously, they stopped pitching to him last year in the postseason when Bohm was really struggling there, and he started to force things. So definitely will be something to monitor here in the early going. But I'm thinking JT is there today. And we'll see if he can have some early success and keep that spot. And I think ultimately, if he's able to, you know, hit well and you're able to have Boehm and Cassidy down in the lineup, it's probably the best scenario for this team if he's producing. So it is officially Phillies opening day now. Major League Baseball opening day was yesterday, but we're going to pretend that didn't happen for a second. And I am going to give my Major League predictions and my Phillies predictions. Everyone's starting 0-0 here. No Soul Series. Again, no games yesterday. I'm going to give my thoughts and you know, what I think is going to happen around the league this year and, you know, who I think will end up winning it all. So, in the NL East, I have the Atlanta Braves winning the division. I know. I have the Atlanta Braves with 101 wins. Look, I think the Phillies can win it. They obviously have the talent to compete with the Braves. I have them winning 94 games this year, the Phillies. But this Braves lineup, man, is just relentless from 1-9. And during the regular season, they just know how to do it at a remarkably consistent level. And they didn't lose anything. I also think that they made a couple sneaky additions. You know, people like to talk about the Chris Sale move as kind of their big addition for the offseason. And it rounds out the rotation a little bit. It's the rotation goes Strider, Fried, Morton, Sale. And I think, well, so they sent Bryce Elder down, I will say. And I think they're starting Ronaldo Lopez as their number five, former bullpen guy. But I think they have a really good rotation. The lineup is what it is. They have a great bullpen. I think the Braves and the Phillies have probably the two best bullpens in baseball. And they do have a closer in Raisel Iglesias, even though, you know, Bryce Harper's owned him over the past few years. But they have a closer. Phillies do not have their set closer. Not that I think that's something that is necessary, as you've listened to me say before, but kind of gives that bullpen some shape there. And again, I think the Phillies will get off to a better start this year. But even post June 1st of last season, Phillies go 65-41, which is, you know, about 100 win pace. Good for fourth in all baseball through the end of the season. But of course, at number one was the Braves with 71 wins. So it always feels like they find a way to one up the Phillies in the regular season, at least. So until they go out there and prove otherwise, I'm going to pick the Braves to win the division with the Phillies as the first wild card once again. To round things out in that division, of the Mets coming in third, finishing with around 78, 79 wins. I mean, that rotation is kind of just in shambles right now. And especially with Senga on the shelf for a little while here, I think that they'll really struggle in terms of just the depth of that rotation. And even the frontline starters, I think they have Quintana as their opening day starter, which is, you know, yikes. But yeah, it feels like the Mets are just playing for next year, and that they have a ton of free agents coming off the books at the end of 2024. So 2025 feels like the year they kind of go all in salary-wise, even though they still do have the largest salary in baseball this year. You just hate to see that. And we'll see what happens with Pete Alonso as well, because he'll be a potential trade candidate at the deadline. And I think there's a very good chance that he moves on to another team from the Mets. But we will see there. I think the Marlins take a step back this year and coming fourth. And once again, the Nats will just be absolutely terrible. So that is what I'm thinking NL East-wise. In the Central, my biggest surprise team in all of baseball this year, I've got the Cincinnati Reds winning 90-plus games and taking that division. I know the Brewers made some moves. People expect to bounce back from the Cardinals. People like the Cubs as well. But I like the young talent of the Reds, man. Love their young pitching staff. Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, Nick Lodolo. I expect Aaron Ashcraft to have maybe a bounce back year. Same with their lineup. Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer. You have a top-end closer in Alexis Diaz as well for you. It does stink for them, I will say, that it looks like Matt McClain, who, of course, I took in a fantasy league like a little over a week ago. Yes, stinks there, but he'll be out for the foreseeable future. Has surgery on his shoulder, but I expect them to be really good this year. Kind of similar to how the Orioles took that big step in 2023, going all the way to 100-plus wins after, you know, finishing, I think, around 500 the year before, maybe just around there. But I have the Brewers finishing right behind them with 87 wins, competing for the last wild card spot, but I'm going to say that they don't get in. Then I've got the Cubs. Then I've got the Pirates, who I actually think did get a lot better this offseason. I expect them to be kind of hovering around 500 for a while, but I ultimately think they probably come in fourth. And I've got the Cardinals finishing in fifth place once again. They just have absolutely no pitching. Their top end guys are like Michaelis and Steven Matson. I don't know how you can rely on what the Cardinals have there in terms of their pitching staff. And once you get past Arenado, Goldschmidt, you know, you have Nolan Gorman, you have a couple other guys, but they just don't have that deep of a lineup either. And I just feel like they have very little upside in terms of what they can do over a full 162. So we'll move on to the NL West now. NL West has gotten really, really interesting over the last few weeks because, you know, of all the moves everyone's made, I'll get it out of the way. I have the Dodgers winning the division, having the best record in the National League with 108 wins. They had the best offseason in the sport. Shohei, obviously. Glasnow. They extend Will Smith. Just a really, really talented team. But again, for them, it's going to be all about shaking the postseason demons off, just like the Braves the last couple of years. And you can have the most talented roster in the world. We've seen in baseball that if you know, your bats go cold for a couple games or your pitching struggles in a short series, you're not going to be able to win. So a lot of pressure on the Dodgers this year, I will say, but I just don't see any way they win less than 100 games. I mean, they have a really, really, really talented rotation. They're a mix of some guys who have done it before, like I said, and Glasnow and Walker Buehler. I really like Bobby Miller, who I think is going to take another step this year. So they're, again, just a really talented team there. Then I have the San Diego Padres finishing in second place, which may be a surprise for some people. I have the Padres winning 90 games, and I just really love the Cease move specifically for them. I think they have a really solid top four in that rotation right now in Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, and Michael King, who they brought over from the Yankees in the Juan Soto trade. He still have Manny, still have Tatis, who I think will have big years. And the big question for them, I think, is going to be at the back end of the bullpen with Hader gone, Robert Suarez being the guy now to close. But I think Robert Suarez is, you know, I know he gave up the bedlam with the back homer to Bryce, but hey, he's great velocity. He's good off-speed stuff, good changeup as well. So I think he'll be fine in that closer role, and I expect that to be a decent bullpen enough to get them 290 wins here. So I've got them in second place and taking the second wild card spot in the National League. And in third place, with the third wild card of the National League, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks at 88 wins. I think the D-backs made a lot of improvements this offseason. I think they'll be better than 84 wins, the total that they had last season, to get the last spot in the National League. But I still have questions about the depth of that lineup once you get past Walker and Moreno in the 4 or 5 spots. I know they got guys like Perdomo at short. They've got, you know, Alec Thomas, who they expect to be, you know, maybe taking another step this year. Obviously, the big moment in the postseason, but I just don't really trust their lineup past their, you know, middle of the order there. So I think, again, they made a lot of improvements. Their rotation is going to be good for sure. You had Eduardo Rodriguez, who I know is banged up right now and maybe out for a little here, but he's a great depth piece to have coming off a big year last year with the Tigers. And then you had Jordan Montgomery late, who might take him a little while to get ramped up here, provides you, you know, with some veteran and big game experience. And in the postseason, it's definitely important. Even though, you know, Brandon Fott, who had no experience, got it done against the Phils last year. I assume he'll slide into the 5 spot when he's healthy. But they've got a nice little rotation there. And if their lineup can produce and the big guys like Carroll and Walker can, you know, carry their weight, then I think that they will be a playoff team once again. Then I've got the Giants being pretty formidable, 80 wins. We'll see how Snell does there. Interested to see how that goes. They do have a decent staff there with Snell and Logan Webb kind of topping them off. But then I have the Rockies being the worst team in all of baseball with 54 wins. They are just god-awful. I mean, I do think they will be worse than the Oakland A's. If you're asking me right now who the worst team in baseball will be this year, I have the Colorado Rockies. I just think that they are going to be god-awful. Anyway, not much more to say there for them. Going to move to the American League now. In the East, I have the Orioles winning that division once again with 102 wins. Man, they're just loaded with young talent. I think the trade for Corbin Burns in the offseason was one of the best moves by any team in baseball. Probably my number one move that was made this offseason to impact the team. I just think it's a no-brainer. You get an established one to add to all the young arms like Bradish, Tyler Wells, Grayson Rodriguez, etc. And I just think their rotation's great. I think their young talent they have in their lineup with Gunner, with Adley, with I think Santander is still one of the most underrated players in baseball. They just have a really good lineup. And in a dangerous division, too, I have them winning 100-plus games again with 102 wins. So big expectations for the Orioles. I think that they will make a deeper playoff run this year as well. And again, last year was kind of their first taste of it. I know they won 101 games. They got bounced there by Texas early on. I think that it was just kind of a step for them. But this year, they really kind of take that next step and make a deep postseason run here. So I had the Blue Jays finding a little more consistency this year and finishing with 93 wins for second place in that division and taking the second wild card spot in the American League. I have the Rays following them with 90 wins and missing the postseason. Rays once again be the Rays, but I do have them just missing by a little bit. I have the Yankees at 86 wins, missing the postseason. I know people aren't going to like that. I just think the Gerrit Cole injury is an absolute killer for them. And I'm not sure when he's coming back. Seems like it's going to be a pretty long-term issue here. But I just don't trust the bottom of that order very much. I don't trust the back end of that rotation very much either. And they have a decent bullpen, and I think that they'll be able to, you know, get some regular season wins here. And would I be shocked if they won 90-plus games? No. But I think that there's a lot of good teams in the American League. And if you don't win 90-plus games, I don't think you're making the postseason. I had the Rays winning 90 games, and I don't have them making the postseason. So we'll see with the Yankees. But again, the Soto addition's great. He's going to be really good for him. Him and Judge might be one of the best 1-2s in all of baseball, but I have him just missing the postseason. So we'll see. But then I have the Boston Red Sox, who just an embarrassment with how they built their roster over the past couple seasons. One of the biggest markets in the sport. Kind of, you know, getting pushed aside the last few years. And I know people in Boston aren't happy with their owner, John Henry. So we'll see what happens there. In the Central, I've got the Minnesota Twins winning what is the worst division in baseball with 89 wins. Just think their pitching staff gets them over the top. And it's just about if you can see if Royce Lewis, Correa, Buxton, all these guys can stay healthy over a full 162. If they do, I think they're talented enough to win that division. I've got the Royals making a big jump down, being around a 500 team. Like the improvements they made with some of the young talent they have. Love Cole Reagan's one of their starters. Witt, he got the extension too, Bobby Witt. Have the Guardians, Tigers, White Sox following them. Then in the West, which is a really, really talented division, by the way. I've got Houston winning the AL West again with 100 wins on the dot. Once they get Verlander back, they're going to have a really good rotation. They add Hader to an absolutely disgustingly good bullpen, and they just rake. Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, they all do their thing. So I also think this guy got pretty overrated early on and ended up having a bad season last year, but I do think Jeremy Peña has a bit of a bounce back year there as well. So have the Astros winning the West. I have the Mariners as the first American League wildcard team with 95 wins. I think that rotation is one of the best in the sport, and Luis Castillo wins his first National League Cy Young Award this year. I love Kirby. I love Gilbert, too. I think that if this offense, aside from Julio, just have some level of consistency, then I think they're going to be really difficult to beat. And I have the defending champion Texas Rangers winning 92 games and getting the third wild card spot there. So, again, you know they'll rake, but I just have questions about the pitching staff and the bullpen and just about if Scherzer, DeGrom, when will they be healthy? And if they can get these guys healthy and if they can get their rotation to full strength, I will say they'll be a really talented ball club once again. Then I have the Angels and the A's wrapping up that division. Again, little take here. Don't think this A's team will be the worst in baseball. I think the Rockies are certainly worse, but they have some young talent there, and I don't hate it, but their payroll is $47 million, which is just yikes, man. Just brutal. Good thing is, the Phillies' payroll, $236 million. So we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful to John Middleton for that. And with that, that'll wrap up for what is now my final offseason edition of Phillies Today. And to everyone going to the game today, watching it at home, doing whatever, listen to it on Sports Radio WIP, just take it all in. Because I have a feeling it's going to be the start of a really awesome year, man. To wrap this up, I've got the Phillies defeating the Seattle Mariners in six games in the World Series. Book it. For Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.